You guys have been quiet for a few minutes there. Okay, let's say a prayer as we start. Father in heaven, thank you, God, so much for your mercies and your help and your blessing. Thank you, Lord, that we can be together tonight. Please bless us here. Bless those who are listening at home. Help us, Lord, to be an encouragement to each other, to help each other as we seek to be faithful and strong and growing in you. Thank you so much for your word, and please bless this study. I pray all this in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I'm going to start with a little bit of review, just those last two or three slides from Sunday. As we wrapped up this point about the mind and the body, that God has made us to be both, we have a body, but we also have a heart, this spiritual part of us, this mind, a soul, that kind of idea. And we're kind of wrapping up this point about how our flesh then impacts us, and that this is how the Bible often talks about it. So Matthew 26:41, we just breezed through this very quickly on Sunday, but Jesus says, "Watch and pray so that you don't enter into temptation. The spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak." So in other words, you know, pray to get that strength. You want to do the right thing. You want to do the right thing, and then you're going to be trying to do the right thing, but then the flesh will tempt you, will wear you down. Pray for that strength to fight the flesh. In other words, the flesh can fight you and push you to give in. You're going to have to fight back. You're going to have to fight against that and be strong as those things wear you down. This is the language in Galatians 5 when he speaks there of the works of the flesh. And we talked about this last year when we looked at the works of the flesh. And we think the works of the flesh are these things that are very, you know, physical, right? We would think things like sexual temptation or, you know, punching somebody or something like that. But what he puts in here, the works of the flesh are sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, being enemies, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions and divisions, envy, and then drunkenness, orgies, things like these. So some of those we would naturally think of as fleshly, maybe not others, but here's the idea. The flesh tempts us. The desires of the flesh are against the spirit. The desires of the spirit against the flesh. So the flesh wants to do its own thing. We're going to have to fight against that. I added another verse that says something so similar, 1 Peter 1:11. Abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. The flesh wars against us, and that's just true with all these different aspects of the body. So sexual temptations and anger, and fear and pain, but also things like laziness or even anxiety and depression are things that wear us down, and our body is trying to bring us down. We're going to have to fight against those. Now, I'm not trying to put an equal sign with all of those, like those are all equal. I think there's probably a sense in which each of those you deal with differently or at least slightly differently. But it's all the flesh, and it all wears us down. We want to do what's right, yet we fight these things in the flesh. And so that's the challenge that we're going to face. So here's the point. What's the value of that discussion? If you were with us Sunday, and as I wrapped up some of these points just now, that I do think that this biblical framework should help bring us some clarity on some issues with mental health, at least get us thinking in some good directions with that. As we mentioned last time, we're going to have to fight the flesh to do what God wants. So we have these things at war against us, and we feel that. And we're all going to feel different things. You know, the angry person has very different temptations than maybe someone else. In Galatians 5, even things like anger and jealousy were lumped in this, the flesh category. And so we're going to have to fight against those temptations and those challenges, which we all face every day. We're going to face different pieces of that. And so just like with parenting, the laid-back kid, he may struggle to have initiative and to work hard and not be lazy, versus the strong-willed person may have different challenges. So here's another manifestation of what we talked about on Sunday and the value, well, hoping, trying to defend the value of that discussion a little bit. Maybe you heard this quote. I'm probably not, unless you're a nerd like me that reads the blogs I do. But one well-known atheist evolutionist, Jerry Coyne, I may be saying his name wrong, but he said a few years ago, "We're just robots made of meat." That was his analysis of human nature. We're just computers, we're just robots, except instead of made of computer chips, we're made of meat. Well, that's the thing, is we are not just thinking pieces of meat. Yes, we have a body, but we also have a mind, a spirit, a soul. And so that, again, that biblical framework is going to improve our thinking. And so because of that, then we can't discount either piece of us. We need to deal with the flesh, the fleshly things, and that's a piece of us as humans, but also the spiritual piece of us, spiritual part of us as well. And that's just how God made us. So we could take that 100 different directions. Even 1 Corinthians 7, pieces that Paul says in there about marriage, and some people are gifted so they don't have to get married. So great, use that for the Lord. I mean, just all those kinds of things. As we, in the flesh, we face different things. Okay, so that wraps up the point we're trying to make on Sunday. Remember, I said there were three things we're trying to pull from the Proverbs on this topic. So that was point number one. Anything that we need to add to that discussion that we're kind of wrapping up there? Let's get into point two then, which is the Proverbs emphasize this. Point number one the Proverbs emphasized was that we are a mind and a body. Those things impact each other. Point number two is don't underestimate how difficult and overwhelming negative emotions can be. So point number two is don't underestimate it because those things are very powerful. So as we've seen, the Proverbs uses strong language to describe these negative emotions. They're very powerful. They're very overwhelming. They impact us a lot. So let's look at these Proverbs that remind us of the power of them. Okay, Proverbs 18, verse 14. A man's spirit will endure sickness, but a crushed spirit, who can bear? Okay. A man's spirit will endure physical sickness, but a crushed spirit, who can bear? Okay, so what would you rather have? A really difficult challenge, really impacting your life, but you're facing it with a good, strong attitude, or would you rather have a crushed spirit? And what does this proverb say is the worst of those two? The crushed spirit, right? And we get that when you have that crushed spirit, then things are just, everything is then hard. The proverb tells us it's much better to face a great difficulty with a strong spirit than when we have a crushed spirit, and that just makes everything in life so overwhelming. So let me use an extreme example of that. Before I get to that, any comments that you want to add to this idea in this proverb? Yeah, David. Yes, okay. So actually, that's exactly where I was going with it. Okay, so to use an extreme example, you don't kill yourself because you just broke your leg, right? Someone, I find out, random person, Rob, sitting back there, found out, Rob broke his leg today. Like, oh no, like, is he doing okay? Well, yeah, he's fine, he just broke his leg, right? Well, what if you break your leg and you lose your job, and then the worries and the bills start piling up? Okay, that's where stress, or you become depressed, you sit around, you can't work, and that's a piece of your, for better or worse, that's a real piece of your identity, is being able to do things and work, and so that wears on you. I remember reading a Christian counseling book where the guy was speaking about his great bout with depression was he was laid up for weeks, couldn't work, just lying there in bed, and how that was just so hard for him to take, that idea. Or chronic pain sets in, and then the chronic pain wears you down. So you broke your leg 2 years ago, and it's still really hurting you, and you can't get the sleep that you need, etc. That's what makes people want to take their own life, right? So these heart, attitude, mind things are what are so difficult to bear. It's when it becomes a crushed spirit, not just a broken leg, right? Why did the psalmist cry out to God? It's not because the psalmist broke their leg. It's because their hearts are overwhelmed, right? They are feeling that crushed spirit, and that's what makes them want to cry out to God. I think that's useful to see the proverb saying, yeah, that is, who can bear that? That's really quite difficult to bear. Okay, comments or questions on this proverb? Yeah, John.
And because we refer to spiritual things,
Good question. So I was actually just thinking about this today, that the Bible does not tend to have a systematic, here's how the word spirit's used, which is different than soul and how that's used, which is different than heart, which is different than mind. There's a lot of overlap in those things. And so for my take on it, of course, I could learn more about this, but my take on it would be that this idea of the spirit here is fairly interchangeable with your heart, your mind, your inner person, as they might say. So that's what I would say about that. As opposed to in the New Testament, say in 1 Corinthians, what's the passage I'm thinking of? Early in 1 Corinthians 3 and 4, when he's talking about the difference between a spiritual person and a not spiritual person, there Paul's using those words in a specific way that I don't think is the point here. That's what I would say about that. Did you have something to... Yes.
And that's what we have to rely on. And then when you get into the scientific, atheistic, evolutionary world, they don't want you to have that separation. And the reality
Correct.
Is we people of faith should have our spirit boosted. And I think that's what this is saying to us. Our spirit can carry us through challenges and illness, but if our spirit is broken, if we're not using our faith to its maximum,
I see. So you would take this a slightly different way in the sense of be more spiritual. And so if you're being spiritually minded, you'll endure sickness. But when you're not being spiritually minded, who can bear that?
No, I think the first definition you use is correct.
Okay. Yes. Yes, absolutely. Yes. So John's point, I think, for those who are listening, is our faith should boost our heart, should boost our spirit. That should get us through these hard times, which is absolutely right. When the psalmists lean on God and cry out to God, that they are, but their faith in God, most of the psalms end with some sense of, God, you're going to resolve this. You know, they cry out to God, but then they say, and God, you've heard. You're going to take care of this, and my soul is going to trust in you. So we should be built up by our faith. So absolutely, yes. So it's not good to have this crushed spirit. We need to then do the things that we'll talk about. We probably won't get to them tonight, but the things that the Bible would say to build up our spirit to get through these difficult times. Because you know, when you're down, you're really down, right? And who can bear that crushed spirit kind of thing? So we do see the empathy here. The you know who can endure that? It's hard. It's impossible to get through that by yourself or that kind of thing. Yeah, Gordon.
Yeah, as an example, Peter and you observed both of them sin, but the reaction to that, and what they did, one Peter said that one way.
Okay, so Gordon said, look at what the difference between how Peter and Judas handled. They both betrayed the Lord. They both were extremely upset about that. Whereas Judas handled that poorly, whereas Peter handled that better and was wiser, more trusting. He could have killed himself too, you know. But that's the path that Judas took, not Peter. So good point there. Okay, Proverbs 15:13 and Proverbs 17:22. Those are both proverbs we looked at on Sunday. So we've seen these already. But there's a phrase in here that just describes this point we're trying to make, which is a crushed spirit. A glad heart makes a cheerful face, but by sorrow of heart, the spirit is crushed. The point we're looking at right now is just don't underestimate the power of these things, the power of these negative emotions. Sorrow of heart can really crush your spirit. And maybe if you're younger, you know, you don't get that yet, but that'll happen in your life. You're like, man, I'm really down. Like, yeah, because by sorrow of heart, the spirit is crushed. Proverbs 17:22. A joyful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. That crushed spirit. We just see the strong language here, this of our heart, of our spirit being crushed. And just to understand that sorrow can crush our spirit, and then that dries up our bones, right? This the really drying you up and impacting you. That crushed spirit affects our bodies so strongly. So we looked at those verses already. Here's a good one for us, Proverbs 14:13. Even in laughter, the heart may ache, and the end of joy may be grief. Okay, what is this proverb saying as we look at this topic? Yeah, Bill. Okay, good. So the things are going good for now, but grief may be around the corner. Certainly the things of this life that don't satisfy us. That's Ecclesiastes, right? The whole idea, the vain things that we reach to try to satisfy us, it doesn't work. So the end of that joy may be grief. Good. What about the first line? What does the first line remind us or teach us? Just because someone's looking good on the outside, does that mean that they're doing good on the inside? No. Yeah, no. So there's often a private nature to our suffering where we're going through something and you're doing your best to put that smile on your face, but your heart may be aching and you may be able to laugh, but there's still a heartache going on. I'm laughing and everything looks great on the outside, but I'm really suffering on the inside with this heartache, with this difficulty. And so that's an important picture for us. So don't be deceived when people look like everything's okay. That'd be me to be oblivious. Oh, everything seemed fine. No, they still may be suffering. And even if everything looks okay with that. And that's especially true when it takes us a long time to recover from something, loss or grief. We're dealing with a long-standing issue of depression or anxiety. You don't just turn that around overnight. If it took you a long time to get into that pit, it may take you a long time to get out of that pit. And so to be realistic about that, I think the Proverbs here are reminding us of that. We may look good on the outside, but unless that person has had sufficient time to process that difficulty, you can be sure they're still suffering. I don't see Ray. Is Ray here tonight? I don't see Ray. Remember Ray's lesson when he preached for us? And he was talking about, Jake's nodding, that Ray was talking, it was around 2 years after Deanna had passed, and he was mentioning how it's still hard at times. I remember him telling us that. That idea of that, it takes a person a long time to get through that. So if someone has been going through something very difficult, and you know that, and then they show up and everything was great, don't think, oh, they just must be over that. No, realize it takes people time. Don't assume that they're all better. And they may be having a good day, but they may not have a good day tomorrow because it just takes time to get through those things. So that's a good proverb for us. Even in laughter, the heart may ache. The end of joy may be grief. Comments or questions on this proverb? Okay. Go ahead, Bill. Okay. Bill was saying the great line in Fairest Lord Jesus, he who makes the woeful heart to sing. Yeah, and how Jesus, God's compassion and his nearness and all those things that are so encouraging. Yes, Jesus can heal a broken heart. Good. Good. Good thoughts there. Yeah, Jake. Okay. Jake says that in his work with kids, that this idea of that it's okay to be feeling those things, the things you've gone through, that you're still feeling sad about that, and that's okay to be mourning those things. Because that's a process. That is a process for you to mourn through something and to come out on the other side. And we Americans really, really struggle with this. We're so unemotional. We watch these videos of people in the Middle East, and they're like really, really passionate, right? They're like tearing down statues and smacking it with their sandals, and like, wow, they're really passionate about that. They know how to grieve. People in other countries grieve much better than Americans. We're so stoic, and we don't show any emotions, and then we wonder why we never process emotions, why we still hold on to them, you know. And so the psalmists, again, teach us that. The Bible teaches us that, to grieve these things and to say these things to God and to bring those things to God, and to do that helps us with our emotions. Okay, yeah, Heather. Yes. Yes. Yeah. So Heather's comment is just, we're going to feel sometimes two opposite emotions at the same time, and to realize, again, that the Proverbs are saying that's life, that's how it works, and that's useful for us to realize. Is there another hand? Okay. Proverbs 15:15, all the days of the afflicted are evil, but the cheerful of heart has a continual feast. When we're struggling with affliction, every day is hard. And that's, you know, we need to be realistic about that. But when we can maintain that joyful heart, life is great. And so I do think that this proverb is aiming at that goal, that depending, we all have different struggles, but this goal that we should be aiming at is this joyful, peace-filled heart. The kind of thing that Paul says, 1 Thessalonians 5, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances. To be aiming to be doing that better and better, in that sense, to maintain that cheerful heart. For most of us, this will be a daily battle to try to have that cheerful heart. That's going to be harder for some than for others, but this is the goal, is to be working to have that joy-filled, peaceful, cheerful heart. And so that just blesses our life, and our thinking does impact my life, right? That my eye, that having a good eye, a good outlook, really impacts my daily existence. Yeah, Janet. Okay. Good. So Janet's point is, this kind of touches on this idea of having this joy that even as we go through these different emotions and different things in life, that underneath that, a substance, a layer of joy as we go through things. Is that a good summary of what you're saying? Yeah. Okay. Great. Yeah. So we say things like, well, I'm not happy. God wants me to be happy. I should be happy. And that's different than saying, well, no, we can choose joy and hope and peace, even if we're not really happy, even if the situation we're in is pretty bad and no one would choose it and you want to get out of it, but you can't. But we can still choose those and make those choices for joy in those things. Is there? Yeah, John?
That
you're not suffering evil because of affliction. Sometimes we find our hatred and patience. The reason Jesus is regardless of what your affliction is, you can still show joy in our heart.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. And in the Old Testament especially, evil can just mean bad things, right? Like Job says that of God, should we not accept evil as well as good? And he doesn't mean God's doing evil things. He means hardship, difficulty. So that idea of we get to choose, and that was kind of what I was trying to hit on at least with point number one, is like we have this choice that no matter what the flesh brings us, to try to be making those choices for joy and peace and faith and growth in those things, in the ups and downs of what comes our way with that. Okay, so what's the point of these Proverbs? Well, we've already seen how that some of these Proverbs in the book of Proverbs, it's just like, that's just how life works. And that's just a reminder of how God's made us, how things are going to be in life. And so we just need to, this reminder, the afflictions of the heart are one of life's greatest burdens. Probably for most people, the afflictions of the heart will be our greatest burden, unless we suffer through something physically unbearable, chronic pain, or, you know, I was thinking about Jesus' crucifixion or something. Unless we suffer that kind of physical pain, probably our emotional pain will be our greatest challenge and our greatest burden in this life. But here's comfort. Remember that God knows this. God's the one who put in the Proverbs, who can bear a crushed spirit. So when things are hard and you're like, this is miserable, well, God knows that a crushed spirit is miserable. He doesn't minimize that. He knows. He gave us the book of Psalms to help us with that. You know, people crying out to God. So we don't need to minimize that, you know, to walk it off or something. No, that's really hard. We need to help each other in these things and through these things, but we don't need to minimize how hard the suffering is. God put in the Proverbs, who can bear a crushed spirit? And so these Proverbs should remind us to be compassionate to people in their emotions, in their emotional challenges. Sometimes people who are going through challenges need to repent. Sometimes they just need compassion and comfort. You can't know that until you dig in and talk to someone and know how it is to help them. And so we want to be compassionate and understanding as well. Proverbs 15:4, we'll get to this one in section 3, but a gentle tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. Just that picture of the gentle tongue is what people need sometimes, and compassionate communication in that relationship is going to be so helpful to people. Okay, so that wraps up category number 2, which is don't underestimate how difficult and overwhelming negative emotions can be. That's our second topic. Yeah, Gordon. Right. Yeah. So Gordon said a lot of good things there. Some of these things can be self-inflicted, or maybe another way to say it is the flesh presents us each with different temptations, and our choices can improve that or worsen that, right? Because we can have a tendency towards fill in the blank. And what I've done with that can maybe make that more and more manageable or more and more unbearable. And so we need to help each other with that. And you know, Jesus, what the gospel tells us to do is to take responsibility for my choices, but then it also tells me to have compassion on people, even though they've made bad choices, you know. And so the Pharisee would say, well, you got yourself into this pit, so you know, have fun getting yourself out of it or something like that. Well, no, the Jesus came and chose compassion to people, even though they got themselves in the pit that they did. So, but we also have to take responsibility for the choices we make. And so we need to try to maintain that balance as we're trying to help ourselves, help other people, and to build each other up in love in the relationships in the Lord that we have. Okay, category number three is that there are things that will help our negative emotions. And we've kind of been touching on this. So God has given us tools that help with our struggles. And so as we look at these Proverbs, you can almost make two lists. You know, what are some of the things that hurt us? What are some of the things that help us? Some of those will be things we can do, or they may just be things that come our way. But some things hurt us, some things help us. And let's just look for that in these different Proverbs. Proverbs 12:25, anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down, but a good word makes him glad. Well, if we've struggled with anxiety, we're like, well, yeah, that weighs us down. That's a hardship. That's challenging. So what helps us with that? What builds us, brings us out of that? It says here, a good word. And that's pretty generic, right? A good word. I can't imagine almost a more generic description there. But let's just talk about that in the realm of encouragement, right? Fears and troubles weigh us down, but encouragement, a good word from someone, is going to help build us up and give us encouragement and hope and help us through these things. So, of course, how can we give a good word to people? We know these things. We talk about these things. I hope sincere love and care in conversations, a real relationship where we care about that person, speaking the truth to them. Sometimes people need, and we need to tell ourselves the truth. We need to tell each other the truth. And to help them, because sometimes we're not thinking the truth. Connecting to people, helping them not feel alone. Those kinds of things. So how can we share a good word with people? That idea. So I like that proverb. Thoughts on this proverb of the help that we can be to people. Yes, good. So Mike is bringing up this idea of Barnabas, son of encouragement. He going back and taking John Mark and those kinds of things. The words that we can share. You know, we've talked about this recently. The power of words, the power of the tongue to build people up. And so we need that. But it's not just. I think we'll see this from the Proverbs. It's not just truth like a Bible verse. That's powerful. But so often in the Proverbs, we're going to see this. It's also a friendship, someone who cares about you. So that here's a Bible verse from someone who's trying to help you in sincere, you know, Christ-like love. That's even more powerful than just, I came across this truth. Speaking the truth in love to each other builds up the body as well. Okay, what about Proverbs 15:4? This is what we looked at a minute ago. A gentle tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. So sometimes what people need is gentle communication. Not always. Sometimes people need to ramp it up a little bit. But sometimes what people really need that's going to be such a blessing to them is this compassionate, gentle, you know, Galatians 1, coming to a brother in a spirit of gentleness idea. Apostle Paul could be very strong with people. Galatians, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 10 through 13. Key examples of that. But you can also be very gentle with people, like the first part of 2 Corinthians or the book of 1 Thessalonians. So Paul dealt with people differently depending on their circumstances. So the Bible model seems to be this pattern. You be as gentle with people as you can be, and you get tougher when it's needed, right? If the only tool in your toolbox is a sledgehammer, you need to get some more fine-tuned tools there. Sometimes you'll need the sledgehammer, but not just that. If we're rough with people right away, we're probably making assumptions about them, or at least they're going to perceive that, right? We're making assumptions where they're at, why they're there, that kind of thing. So that's line number one. Whereas perverseness in the tongue breaks the spirit. I think this is getting it to this truth. It meanness from other people is what really gets to us, right? The word here for perverse, I looked up this word. It's translated, you know, crooked or twisted. And so a gentle tongue from someone can be so encouraging. Whereas when someone is unfair, unkind, mean, and that's what ruins our day, right? Like things were going fine until he did something. Out of nowhere, this person, I didn't ask for that. And is someone being so unkind, unfair, unreasonable, those kinds of things. If loving speech has the incredible power to build us up, the opposite is true. Meanness from others breaks our heart. And we felt that, right? We're like, why did they have to be that way? It just really impacts us. Tim Bunting and I would talk about in New York, we would say that all these annoyances of the city, right, waiting for the train and just all these things would be fine if people were nice to each other. Like, you could bear through all those annoyances if people were there that were good people. It's the difficulties plus mean people and rude people and all that that makes things to be so unbearable. And so, you know, when we have a hard day, when we have a day where someone's unkindness really bugs us, just remember this proverb. Be like, man, that really gets to me when people treat me like that. Again, we've seen this. The tongue has such power to hurt people. And so we can just see that. Okay, so thoughts on this proverb here. Yeah, Gordon. Okay, so Gordon made two good points there. The first point he made is it's like the guy in 2 Corinthians that Paul says, he's repented, accept him, embrace him, because if you don't do that, you're just going to push him away. And he says, don't be ignorant of Satan's devices that discourage person. No, surround them, encourage them, and draw them back in. You know, what if we had a policy that, you know, if you do sin X, you know, you're on the blacklist for 2 years. Like, well, yeah, that's going to help you. You know, they had that in like the Middle Ages and earlier. These churches had these rules about if you commit certain sins, you're like in the back and when, you know, get kicked out kind of before service is over. And just, you know, like, yeah, like that's really going to help you. So that was Gordon's first point, is we need to remember that about encouraging people. Point number two Gordon made was have this sense of what the Proverbs are doing is helping to kind of put a context to these life experiences. So the next time you're at the store and you're trying to return the apples because the apples they put in your trunk were rotten, and you're like, that's not fair. And maybe that's happened to us. You know, I don't know if that's happened to you. You know, Walmart deliveries, like, it's like they put rotten produce in our trunk. Anyways, so say you're in an experience like that, and the person you're talking to is just rude, is upbraiding you, is unfair and unkind, and this little thought bubble comes of this proverb that says, a gentle tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it crushes the spirit, it breaks the spirit. What that does is allows us to step back. Whenever the Proverbs do that, and I think that's part of the point of Proverbs, is it kind of allows us to be objective about the situation. And that's Gordon's point. It allows us to go, hey, you know what? Yes, he shouldn't be talking to me like that, but you know, he should work on that. I've got my own things to work on. And a lot of times when we can just take a step back, be a little more objective, not get sucked into the moment of, I can't believe he treated me like that. No, you can it kind of allows you to be more objective. When I was going through a stressful time with church stuff back in New York, my uncle gave me that exact advice. He said, try to just step back and imagine you're watching all this, you know, like you're seeing it played out in front of you. And when we can do that at times, I think the Proverbs help us. I think that's part of the point of Proverbs. They help us kind of step back and be more objective. Oh, yeah, that's what's going on. This guy's being a fool. I don't need to get worked up about this. He's being foolish, and that's not good, but that's okay. You know, and that kind of response. Okay, well, thank you all for your participation this evening. We'll continue on Sunday.